May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts, the actions of our lives, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Jesus and the Syrian. Sounds a very relevant title. That's what the gospel story is about, Jesus and a Syrian. Last week, the previous passage in the gospel was about Jesus having trouble with the Jews and about their hand washing and seemingly very strange customs that you had to do if you were going to be pure and holy. If you were here last week at the earlier service, you'd heard me speak on it, and I used a well-known saying, "How odd of God to choose the Jews." And afterwards, one of our members reminded me of the next line in that poem. "But not so odd as those who choose a Jewish God, but spurn the Jews." Today is Racial Justice Sunday, and we're dealing, well, how could we have had a better theme but Jesus and a Syrian? Last week's story was odd, but this one is much more complicated, odder still. It's incredibly strange, quite shocking, in fact, the way Jesus treats this woman. Some people say the language is atrocious. He calls her a dog. There's no way round it. Some people say, well, he must have had a twinkle in his eye. I hope he did. But dogs was just one of the rude words that Jews had for non-Jews. And I'm afraid we all fall into it. It's extraordinary. We have names for Germans and Japs 70 years later, don't we? And they probably do for us. We're always running down somebody different. Foreign immigrants, why don't they go back where they came from? And much worse than that is being said at the moment. We've got a global movement of immigrants and asylum seekers. It's very complex. It's a real challenge. No one nation can solve it. But the extreme views from right and left are on the increase. And God's people must note that. We Christians say we have a gospel to proclaim, good news. The Old Testament in Leviticus tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. 36 times more it says, love the stranger. And some of those we're dealing with are very strange and different, and that's a real challenge. But look at the Bible. Adam and Eve, Noah, especially Abraham, they were always traveling on the move. Moses and Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert. Later, they were all exiled in Babylon for 50 years. They were strangers in a strange land, the Bible says. What about Jesus? Jesus came to his own, and they didn't want him. That's how our Christmas gospel begins. A childhood refugee in Egypt as he fled from Herod. And even as that itinerant preacher, we read, he had nowhere to lay his head. We know the price he paid in the end. This was no popular person, the Jew we worship today. The early church's story, the story of the spread of Christianity in Acts. It's one journey after another, having a gospel to proclaim. And didn't they suffer for it, as well as find the glory? Beaten, thrown out, flogged, imprisoned. There it is with St. Peter and Paul, all through the history of the early church. Time and again, we Christians have had to face that. Perhaps not so much recently, Maybe that's worth thinking about. But we are told we are pilgrims, we are aliens, and we have a gospel to proclaim in a world which frankly has forgotten all that I've said in the last 5 minutes. How does that work with our neighbours and the strangers we face? Jesus was chased out of church when he preached like this, and he spoke about God's grace for a Syrian general called Naaman. They chased him out. They nearly threw him over a cliff. In this story, he meets a Syrian woman face to face. She had a desperate need, a sick daughter. And there are few things that challenge us more than a sick child. In Matthew's version, almost exactly the same words, but some significant differences. 4 times she approaches Jesus, trying to get some response from him. That's quite unusual. And more than that, he seems to abuse her. This is not for you, Jews first. Did he have a twinkle in his eye? I hope so. But at the end, he said, Matthew records, this woman had great faith. She stood up to him. And her faith was followed by her daughter's healing. Syrians, we hear about them almost every day. We see them on our television. And a lot more. From the Central African Republic, Southern Sudan, Yemen, Myanmar, Libya, you could add to it. We learn of traffickers, illegal immigrants, asylum seekers. We've got a number of rather toxic titles, I'll call it, for those who are different from ourselves. It is a complex and cosmic challenge. What is the world coming to, people say. Christians sing, we have a gospel to proclaim. What is our good news in this current context? One writer says, sometimes following Jesus Christ is a bewildering and frightening business. So it is. Sometimes following Jesus Christ is a bewildering and frightening business. How may the compassion and justice of God and of Jesus be worked out in the world we face? The Good Samaritan, this Syrian's story, the thief on the cross. This is a matter of life and death. It's a work of grace. It requires more than human skill. The magic of the market, they call it, where the values of our world depend on economy and money. And God's word and God's saving grace is largely forgotten. Leading Christians have been addressing this lately. Our brilliant former Archbishop of Wales and England, Rowan Williams, comments, you know, think of that story of the Good Samaritan. It's not just about being good. It's about receiving life from a stranger. Have you ever thought about that aspect? It's about receiving life from a stranger. Or a neighbour. It's a matter of life and death, he says, not just about being good. On Thursday, I buried a Christian friend, and Judy and I were with her praying during her last days, and although she was in extreme pain, she said, if you're not here when I come back, when you come back, we were just off on holiday, I'll come and tell you what it's like. And she laughed. Somebody who we were seeking to help was ministering to us of the faith that was real to her in the face of death.
we have a gospel to proclaim.
Justin Welby, his successor, has written recently, the gospel is reconciliation. The gospel is reconciliation, learning to treasure the stranger, the other. Paul has told us in the New Testament, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. Everything's new. We've got new, challenging, and different values, a radical way of living and loving to practice. We need to recognize how often we forget it. We need to remember what God has done in welcoming us and what pain and loss he went through in Jesus to make it true. Reconciliation, says Justin Welby, always involves profound risks. You won't be popular for saying or doing these things. Reconciliation involves profound risks. Remember Archbishop Tutu's work in South Africa, bringing together the opposing sides of apartheid. Remember the strange friendship of Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness in Northern Ireland. Friends, that reconciliation must not be lost. Scars remain in both those places. The process lasts a lifetime, as it does with us and with God and with one another. Jesus says, as we come to the communion, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me. Because we are human, we need reminding. Time and time and time again. We need to feed our faith upon what God has done for us. Time and time again. And we need to work it out in our lives. We need to remember the great faith of that Syrian woman 2,000 years ago. Have you already remembered that for 2,000 years, her words have been put into Christian communion services? Not lots of other stories, but we remember those words of the crumbs under the table. In a moment, I'm going to ask for it to be put up. Yes, the world we face is in a great moral and political mess. God's world. We Christians have a job to do. Some of Jesus' last words were, I was a stranger and you took me in. When, they said, inasmuch as you did it for one of these, you did it for me. What are we doing? Yes, we need new leaders. Yes, we need a better kind of politics. Yes, we need a miraculous healing of our society. Jesus said to this woman, woman, you have great faith. And a miracle resulted. Sam Wells, my last quote, who is the vicar of St. Martin in the Fields, wrote this as he took a similar theme with his congregation. We believe it's possible to build together a community of humility, generosity, gratitude, grace, truth, and compassion, for which the only word we know is church. We're called to be a living example of what the liberating and transforming love of God can do. It may be a witness like ours can begin to heal our country, can inspire it to take a different, a more inclusive way, and a more hopeful direction. And he ends, but if it does not, we're going to do it anyway. I'm going to ask Josh if he'll put that prayer up. Do you remember this? We don't use it very often, but for thousands of years it's been in our service, the words taken from that very act of faith of the woman, the Syrian, who met Jesus. May we say it together? We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. And Lord, may we show the same. Amen.